All right, we've heard about the Jeffrey Epstein story. We continue to hear about the Jeffrey Epstein story. We've been inundated by the politics, the conspiracies, the claims, the rumors, the accusations, everything except what truly matters in this story, the crime of human trafficking and what to do about it. Remember? Right, that's what Epstein was actually convicted of. It's a darkness that exists in our country, which my next guest and the organization he's a part of works to combat in a variety of ways while also offering help to the victims of human trafficking. He's Chief Collaboration Officer with the Collaborative to End Human Trafficking, Eric Matheny. Thanks for being here today, Eric.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Learn more about the work of the Collaborative, collab2endht.org, and we have that link over at our homepage for you to understand more about the truth, the facts, and what happens to the victims of human trafficking. So make use of the website and be a part of the effort, too, in any way that you can possibly be. Let's start with the foundation, Eric. What is human, or some would say sex trafficking?
Well, I always like to go back to the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which was passed I'd like to say not that long ago, but it was 25 years ago now. It was passed in 2000. It's been reauthorized by Congress a number of times. And I think it's always important to go right back to the legal definition of what sex trafficking and labor trafficking are. So it kind of helps us understand, and we can key in on a couple of things. So sex trafficking, it's the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, obtaining, patronizing, or soliciting of a purpose for commercial sex, in which the Commercial Sex Act is induced by, and these next three words are super important to this, force, fraud, or coercion, or in which a person induced to perform a sex act has not attained 18 years of age. So the force, fraud, and coercion part, if someone is a minor, those pieces are not even in it, the force, fraud, and coercion, so it's just illegal. Trafficking, sex trafficking, a minor. For labor trafficking, we some of the same words, recruitment, harboring, transportation, those things. But the purpose is for labor or services through the use, again, of force, fraud, or coercion, for the purpose of subjugation. And these are words that we thought, before I got into this work, we thought these words that I'm about to say were things that we were decades and centuries away from now, but involuntary servitude, peonage, debt bondage, and slavery. So the TVPA, Trafficking Victims Protection Act, those are the definitions, and we really focus in on those words, force, fraud, and coercion.
That also, I think, wakes people up, too, because when people hear about the crime of sex trafficking, they might think it's a shorter action than it actually, they might equate it with a kidnapping. There's a rather rapid beginning, middle, and an end. But it sounds by that definition that sex and human trafficking, that's a long-term situation for the victims.
Yeah, like many things, it's really like the entree into being trafficked is really based upon trust and relationship, right? And so, something like 70% of people who are trafficked know the person or knew the person before the trafficking started or got to know them. Many times you have situations where a trafficker will groom someone, and grooming, sounds, pretty nice. You buy me gifts, you're telling me you love me, all of these things. And then the next thing you know, you're asking me to have sex with someone who you say is a friend of yours for money. It's more insidious. It's a form of manipulation that might start out seemingly pretty good, but that's because traffickers prey upon previous vulnerabilities. So if you are, economically disadvantaged in some way, if you have previous trauma, abuse as a child, all of these things are things that traffickers prey upon.
So in effect, the trafficker builds up a trust with someone who, when that trust is betrayed, is more than likely going to blame themselves for that betrayal.
Sure. How did I get into this situation? And so there's, you know, there's a lot of feelings of shame, and, you know, just, and there's all sorts of things that keep people in these relationships, right? I mean, you know, we think about back to the words force, fraud, and coercion. I mean, sometimes we're talking about physical force. We're talking about, you know, beatings, assault. But we're also talking about psychological manipulation. We're talking about chemical manipulation. If, you know, I get you hooked on drugs and I control the supply of drugs to you, then suddenly you're connected to me and you're going to do whatever I say. And so it is a really dark form of control for sure.
So with Eric Matheny, who is Chief Collaboration Officer with the Collaborative to End Human Trafficking, collab2endht.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm thinking this is a safe assumption on my part, but whenever we see a stat about the frequency, the degree of human trafficking, any statistical number, should we be assuming that's a very low number versus the reality of the situation?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So, you know, it's funny because, you know, I work for an organization whose literal name is the Collaborative to End Human Trafficking, and yet we have such a hard time, both at a local level, a state level, a national level, a world level, of being able to say with any degree of certainty how prevalent this problem is, right? So the United Nations has been using a number worldwide saying that approximately 27 million people are trafficked for sex and labor around the world. It's a $150 billion industry each year. But you're absolutely right. You know, some people, like, believe it or not, you wouldn't necessarily think this, but if you get yourself into some of these situations, you know, or you're groomed into the situation, you may not realize that what's happening to you is human trafficking, because we have sort of a view of trafficking, sort of, Chris, like what you were saying, that it involves kidnapping, or, you know, we always talk about the white van and the, you know, someone being chained and all of these things that are just not the reality. And so people may not know. Whether law enforcement, hospitals, you know, NGOs may not be asking or know what to ask to even know if someone has been trafficked. And beyond that, the people who do know to ask, there's no, you know, local, state, or federal way of sort of wrapping our arms around all of these numbers. There are some good and exciting things that are happening over the last couple of years. The state of Florida has, you know, passed legislation where they're collecting data at a statewide level. State of Texas is considering it. Here in my home state of Ohio, there have been some great moves just with government agencies collecting. But it is a huge, huge problem that we don't know how big the problem is. I would say, like, the 27 million number is probably on the low side, and it's happening everywhere. So it's really tragic.
You mentioned the actions that states are taking. It made me think back to when New Jersey was going to host the Super Bowl, I guess, what's that, maybe a decade ago now. And leading up to the Super Bowl, someone within the legislative world saw that, okay, Super Bowl, that's going to create a possibility of sex trafficking. Let's ratchet up the laws in our state, which New Jersey did at the time. It was called the toughest laws, state laws against human trafficking that there was. Is that important for the state to realize, okay, what is existing in our borders that opens the door for either the establishment or the increase in growth of trafficking action?
Yeah, I mean, I think that really there's three things, you know, that we think of and kind of come from that Trafficking Victims Protection Act. We call them the three P's: the prevention, prosecution, and protection. And so the prosecution piece you know, sort of nationwide, what we're kind of wired for. It's like bad things happen, bad people do bad things, and they need to be brought to justice. And that is absolutely 100% true. And so those laws, and they need to be with strict penalties. And, you know, fortunately, we're seeing around the country that penalties for trafficking are, I think, getting stronger. And I think people are starting to take notice of that. But you're right. Any time that there is a large influx of people into an area for any specific thing in a city, like, you are going to see the possibility of, trafficking, sex trafficking spiking during that time. In fact, a piece of our organization, we're a collective impact backbone organization for a local coalition in the Cleveland area. And it was the event of the 2016 Republican National Convention coming to Cleveland that, much like you said, Super Bowl in New Jersey, that caused local leaders to come together and basically ask, what are we going to do locally to prevent trafficking from happening here? So that's even part of our organization's founding stories.
Talk more about what the work of your organization does, because you provide the information and the knowledge for local organizations. And I like, too, that you're placing the people ahead of the politicians, because we know which one of the two are going to be more effective when it comes to responding. And what do you do in ways of helping victims? Because I think that's the untold or unknown part of the trafficking equation that we never see. We always think the arrest and the conviction, okay, period, end of story. Well, not for the victim, it isn't.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, so it's, you know, as someone once said, the three V's, the victim, villain, and vindicator, right? And so, and you're right. We tend to go, okay, the good guy got the bad guy, and right off into the sunset and forget about the victim. But there is throughout our country a very deep, skilled and passionate, victim services workforce that is really working with survivors, because, you know, depending on when you were trafficked in your life, there are things that you just might not have learned that other people learned about how to take care of your money, how to take care of, you know, children, because of the situations that you were placed in. And because there's no other way of saying it, some of your life was just literally taken from you. And so to help people build from that trauma to a state where they're really, they're able to live the life that they want to live, like any one of us, requires a lot. So we work with, in our local community, over 70 organizations. Everything from government agencies, law enforcement, hospitals, victim service providers. And really what we try to do is weave those things together, because this is a very complex issue, and no one organization or really no one system can completely solve for it. So we're not only trying to work to prevent this from happening, and prevention is everything from, training young people about what trafficking is, training teachers and other youth-serving professionals about trafficking, to really looking at going after some of the root causes, the vulnerabilities and trauma. So we're doing that, but we also recognize that even if we were completely 100% successful and we ended human trafficking, there will, for many years, be people who are survivors and who need supportive services. And so that's the other piece of what we do, is we both make sure that the services that are being delivered are quality services, as well as that we just have all of the services that we need, and that they're trauma-informed, and that they are survivor-centered.
The Collaborative does offer both in-person and virtual training and information sessions. You can find it all at collab2endht.org. We have the link at our homepage as well. He is the Chief Collaboration Officer with the Collaborative to End Human Trafficking. Eric Matheny, thank you for the awareness and the seriousness that you bring to an issue that is too often getting sensationalized. You'll help people understand it's a human issue, not a political issue. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for putting a spotlight on this issue and for having me on. I've really enjoyed our conversation.